Let me compliment the Criminal Justice and Research Project for producing these jingles, these anti-violence jingles. We are in a situation where we've well recognized that we can't adopt just one or two approaches to trying to reduce the kind of violence that we are seeing around us in this country. And it's long been recognized that we need to come up with some creative ways of trying to reach people. So I really compliment the authorities for this particular effort. You see, on the other side, on this question of the St. George North by-election and the outcome, if you listen to Brass Tacks, you're going to recognize certain trends. Huh? You know that some of the people who call this program regularly would have suffered a severe blow by the outcome of this by-election. And part of the problem is that there are people who make contributions in public who believe that what they say must go. That as long as you come here on a regular basis and put lashes in somebody, it makes a difference. They are going to lose support, or you are going to be able to influence enough people to give support to that individual or to that party. A lot of that sense of power is really misplaced. And some of them you're going to hear call today, some of them may not call, because they have to wheel and come again. They're being exposed to the fact, to the reality, that merely because you have a point of view and because you repeat it every day on a call-in program does not really mean that you penetrate and that you are able to influence people in the way that you believe. This is down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
I want, if you don't mind, some rules of engagement here this morning between you and I. I would just like to present my argument. I'm willing to respond to anything you ask me afterwards, but I just want to present my argument.
How many minutes you want to present your argument, though?
I don't know.
But that's where sometimes the problem arises.
No, Raul got 10 minutes to say goodbye. Tell you three times he was going, and he got 10 more minutes. But anyway, I just want to start by saying that I look at the Bobby's Today Online article, and Dr. Christina Hines, political scientist at the UWI Cavehill, has made a statement which I can agree with. She says, the overwhelming victory for the ruling party in the St. George North by-election is not an accurate representation of either overall support or disenchantment with the country's two main political parties. And she spoke about overkill by the government in terms of how they dealt with this by-election. All ministers were out on the day of voting, taking people to the polls. I've never seen anything like that in a by-election. All ministers were there, and people like the Ambassador Liz Thompson, who I'm questioning this role as ambassador, being so politically involved and make, you know, there are a number of things to go, but I don't want to spend my time there and get distracted. You have said, and I've been listening to you as I was holding, and I keep hearing it. The media keeps saying, you keep saying, moderators keep saying, and there seems to be, I don't know if it is coordinated, if it's spontaneous, but there seems to be this orchestrated or this idea out there that is being put out there that the former members of parliament and the period between 2008 to 2018, when the Democratic Labour Party held office, was so terrible and they did such terrible things that the people, it will take a while for people to get over that and to revert to any of those former members would be disastrous, a decision that should not be even considered. And they have their weaknesses, etc. And that is the mantra and the narrative that is out there. The last government did so badly and was so terrible and upset the people so much that they cannot come back. I just want, if you don't mind, to look at a number of things. Because I'm asking myself, what did any of the ministers of government achieve anything during that 10-year period? what did they do that was so terrible that the media, and perhaps when I'm finished you can respond to me, what did they do so terribly that the people should hate them, that they shouldn't even consider them, and the people still vex, that's why they didn't vote for them in this last by-election, etc., although I have a different view to that. I look at, let's go, I'll take about five ministries and I'll just make 2 points. They won't be long. The Attorney General's Office. Police station. They built police station in Hastings, in St. Thomas, new magistrate court and police station in St. Joseph, new post office in Oyston, in St. John, they refurbished post office in Eagle Hall, etc., upgraded the central police station and completed the Supreme Court building. That's the Attorney General and Home Office. Health is important to people. Now, also under the Attorney General, please note, our crime rate was way, way down compared to now. Under health, they built the best Dos Santos lab, which is now doing all the COVID testing, a new cafeteria at the hospital, they refurbished Lions Eye Center, they did refurbish the new entrance at the QEH, making a customer service desk, a new cafeteria, new elevators, completely overhauling the electrical system at the hospital, which for years was giving problems. Housing, let's be brief. Lancaster in St. James, every parish they touch with houses. Greens in St. George, Work Hall in St. Philip, French Village in St. Peter. Then in rent-to-own for poor, working-class people who could not afford to buy a house, they did townhouses in Country Towers and mainly in the city. Valerie in Colmar Rocks, Chorts Lodge in Tweedside Road, Ford's Road and Sayers Court. And industry, they provided $10 million in fund access,
ma'am,
to lend to micro small business.
I need to come to the point, though, because you know you're going through a list of things, and,
so you
and I will
come
just
to the point? No,
yeah, okay. And I will say to you what you would have said to me before, Barbados is not just an economy; it's a society. You remember that refrain?
This
so
absolutely
let me
reflects
answer
it.
To you now.
But no, I'm just saying it reflects it.
Just let me say to you that my recollection of what has happened in the period has a lot to do with, for instance, the economy and the downgrades and stuff, the difficulties associated with things like trying to get garbage collected in the country, the difficulties that we had with buses, the sewage problem that we had, the reports coming from the Auditor General, and the concerns that were raised coming out of just those reports alone about the same Valerie and the Grotto and the Barbados Water Authority and things like that.
Right.
All
so
right? And that, so let me say this to you.
Because you have interrupted me, but I listened, yeah.
But you had quite a while, so I tell
I
you.
Let me say
to you that you would never be able to see it the way that I do. Because what we were going through at the time, when we spoke about it then, you had a different perspective on it.
When we spoke about what?
When we spoke about what was happening generally under the DLP administration back then.
You have to be specific.
No, but we went through that for on a number of occasions. So what I'm saying, you just said to me, let you talk.
And you didn't, but go ahead.
But that, come on, man, you got unreasonable though, you know.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
You can be really unreasonable. Look, so I'm saying to you, we are never going to be able. We can't expect to see it the same way. So I justify my view that it is so hard against that kind of background. And I say to you that the Democratic Labour Party needs to look critically at the factors that influence its demise in 2018 if it is to resurge in the country.
Can I respond to what you just said?
Yes.
You said that the problems we were having with garbage collection. Do you know that under the last administration, persons were getting once weekly, twice weekly garbage collection? When this new government came in, it went to 3 weeks without garbage collection. Some people were lucky to get every 2 weeks. It got worse.
Ma'am.
The situation with the buses got worse.
Ma'am, it is better now.
The Auditor General report, same old same. I am saying to you, Mr. Ellis, listen to my argument, and then I will stop and let you continue, and
okay.
Then I will respond. I am trying to get, for the public, discerning listeners, person who are thinking to understand, the media keeps saying the Democratic Labour Party can't get over unless they do X, Y, and Z. But you know what they're doing? They keep repeating the same thing. It was so bad under them. And I sought this morning to show to the public the amount of things. And you stopped me before I finish. I didn't even go into industry, energy.
Because you want to produce a manifesto, and in a sense doing that now.
I am saying to you, when I gave you the opportunity, you brought to me garbage collection and sewage and all that. Didn't they pump the sewage back into the sea? The third thing they criticized? Didn't they say, I could list the things they said they were going to do once with the sewage?
But at least they got it off the streets.
You see what I'm saying to you, David, is this, huh? You all are being so unfair, and then you say the media needs to do that. But the media is responsible for this negative image of the Democratic Labour Party,
wow.
And the DLP also is responsible.
Wow.
Because persons need ex-ministers need to come out and speak about their ministry. Housing was good. Steve Blackett in welfare and community was good. Richard Seeley in tourism was good. Maxine McLean in foreign affairs went Panama. They did a number of things. Trade. So I am saying to you, what is it that the DLP did so bad that people must hate them forever and ever and don't want the former ministers to even consider coming back? Tell me, David Ellis.
Ma'am. I am not going to use the kind of inflammatory language that you use. I have never said that the people hate anybody. All right? I have never used the term disastrous. You have. These are the terms that you have introduced. But let me say to you that the position that you are taking today is consistent with the position that many Dems hold.
Does it make me a Dem?
No, I didn't say that you are a Dem.
Go ahead.
And those people who fall into that category, to my mind, are in a state of absolute denial.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that you're going to be able to tackle this is to critically analyze what your weaknesses were. You can articulate all of what you see as the strengths. But you know what? Notwithstanding that, you were beaten 30-love.
Yes.
Notwithstanding that, you have a by-election 2.5 years after, and you can't, in a low voter turnout, you find yourself with a new candidate being able to romp home easily in those circumstances. So,
and
I'll ask you this, because I remember.
Government that has the resources to spend money, and a DLP that is
the
not
question
even
convention
can put up.
You realize that the
resources.
You realize that the most serious.
Let me say this last piece.
But you see, you can't. You don't control. You do not control this program. I gave you an opportunity to speak.
Just having a conversation.
I hope so. But let me say something to you. It is, and I drew attention to this on the night of the by-election. In the general election, the Democratic Labour Party won only 2 boxes in the whole country. In this by-election, did they win a box at all? Not 1 box. So that those types of things reinforce this notion that you're not there yet. You've got some work to do.
Here is another view.
Sure.
Miss Mia Motley in the general election under this government, this BLP administration, had the lowest voter turnout. So if she was so popular, even though she won all 30 seats, what does it tell you? She does not have this enormous mandate as it relates to the population as she's projecting out there. She had the lowest number of persons going out to vote for her. In this election,
you mean in her constituency?
Voter turnout under 50% again. So that is why Dr. Christina Hines' comment and what I am saying has to be taken into consideration, which is this government has very good PR. The DLP is not good on public relations. They do things quietly and they don't even talk about it. This government, if they just cough, they go on the radio and say, we had a beautiful cough. Did you see how Miss Motley coughed? Did you see how, and all this sort of thing, and giving people the impression that they're so wonderful. But the point is, low voter turnout tells us the DLP majority persons didn't go out to vote for Miss Motley, nor Floyd Reefer, and independents didn't go out to vote for her. What does it say about this government? But you instead, I listened to you this morning, you instead directed your intention. What does it say about the DLP? Really, this is more a reflection on persons not being that enamored with this party than people are projecting. Public relation is good. Media participation and media being compromised and helpful to this party is good. But at the end of the day, the people are speaking silently, but they're speaking in certain ways.
Well, I suspect that in all that I said, you missed what I consider to be the most important point in all of this, which is the need for us, for our democracy, to have a stronger opposition voice. And I don't necessarily believe that in today's world, that voice has to come from the House of Assembly. I've said to you, even in relation to the comments that have been made by the government about the ruling party, about having Tony Moore in the lower house, I could never understand how that could be so important today when you're talking about social partnership. And since then, I heard the Prime Minister talking about restructuring the social partnership and that sort of thing. I think yesterday, Dennis raised the same point, because it don't make no sense to me that you got to be putting so much emphasis on having Tony Moore in the House of Assembly when you're saying that all parties associated with the trade union movement and other organizations in Barbados are to have a greater voice through the social partnership, and if and through that kind of mechanism, you are going to be able to do the heavy lifting that is required, because you're not relying exclusively upon the people who are in Parliament to do that, to help you do that. You're
so
broadening
the
base.
What is the role of the media? Would you all prosecute this government? Would you bring voices into VOB that will bring give a contrary view?
Well, look at you.
All that we are here. What, the media.
Well, look at you. You get an opportunity to speak so regularly.
Now you interrupt me and tell me how long I'm talking and all that.
Sorry.
I am not a contrary view that can be heard with any level of freedom to say what I have to say. But I would say this to you: the role of the media and the moderators and all these people. The Democratic Labour Party will always be stifled if you will never come and say the government did this wrong, just as you were doing with the last government.
But we do.
I love that. Last government, you were saying we don't like this, that. But all of us.
But
we
do.
No, but no. Look into your Sunday brass tacks. Look at your programs. You all don't look.
Well, look.
You had a discussion on what's going on with CARICOM.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
What's going on with the help. So many things going on. This government is never criticized. So people will always feel the last government was terrible and this one was bad. And the major point they had, Mr. Stewart didn't talk enough. Yes, his communication style was not acceptable to the people. But that was not the total downfall. The media heaped it. Day after day, you had your callers and the moderators.
Hold on a minute.
Please.
To this government. Pause for breath now.
I'm pausing.
Please. I know that at the end of the day, there are a lot of you who spin it this way. They blame not the media, really, you know. They see brass tacks. Brass tacks takes a lot of the blame for the loss of the lead, the government by the Democratic Labour Party, according to some of you. All
take
right?
Your lashes.
According to some of you.
Take your lashes.
But I want to say something to you. My back is broad.
Okay.
And I have no difficulty hearing these comments that are sort of thing. But because you don't forget, I used to listen to you cursing us over by CBC when
I don't ever curse. So don't
well,
it's like,
for me,
don't
it was cussing. For me,
I
it was cussing. Well, cussing.
Whatever I criticized on that.
You,
program,
you.
I came at VOB and I
man,
said.
Listen, you can't have all the say.
No, but I can defend myself.
You can't have all the say. I heard you putting all the lashes that you could in us. And when the government changed and you couldn't talk to them, you come back here. You have been, and even so, we have not stopped you from having your say.
I have never been disallowed from speaking to any radio station. Never.
Right. Exactly the point. You have not been disallowed from talking on this platform. And you put, and you use this platform to articulate a vision and a view that is highly consistent with that of somebody who is deeply committed to the Democratic Labour Party. We don't stop you.
Because that's the label you want to put on me.
It is not a label.
I remember you said something to me many, many years ago when I first started calling programs. And I was shocked. At that time, I was enjoying myself as a young
You person. Might be in denial there too.
And you said to me, I have not heard this voice, but I'm hearing it regularly. And it's strange because it does not sound as the type of voice that would be part of the DLP. And I wondered, DLP? I had never even gone to a meeting, anything.
Well, perhaps that's how you got to be put on some of the boards and that sort of thing when the Democratic Labour Party was in power. But anyhow, you can come back to me and talk to me another day. We got to go.